We'll be looking this morning in Luke, the 11th chapter, starting in verse 37. How do I keep it real? This is a passage where Jesus is not talking to heathens, at least they didn't think they were. He's talking to church folks, preachers, actually, religious people. So let's just read the story. Read it here. Verse 27 of Luke 11th chapter. And as he spoke, talking about Jesus, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. You didn't wash your hands? Wash your feet? Next verse. Then the Lord said to him, "Now, you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness." They were concerned about his washing his hands before he ate. I won't even go there today because this is a big concern. Hygiene is important today. And, well, they were just going, huh, this was for religious purposes. This was not for hygiene. They couldn't believe that he didn't ceremonially wash his feet and hands before they ate. So he says, now, I want you to understand, you Pharisees, you'll clean the outside of a cup, you'll clean the outside of a dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Can you imagine going over, being invited over somebody's house, and they get all these great dishes out to set a really nice meal, and the outside of the cup sparkle, and then they start to... Then you look down in the inside of your empty cup and it's got dirt, bugs, and all kinds of stuff on the inside. But it's clean on the outside. Which is more important, being clean on the inside or being clean on the outside? Obviously, it's the inside. That's the part that's actually going to make it to your inside. So, he says in verse 40, "Foolish! Did not he who made the outside make the inside too? But rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you." If you just pay enough money, it'll make it all go away, right? On the inside. If you'll just clean the outside good enough, then the inside won't matter. In verse 42, he says this, "But woe," that word woe. The word woe here is a very powerful word. It's like Jesus saying, "I'm cursing you." Not a bad word curse, but a real curse. "I'm cursing you, but woe to you Pharisees." Let's stop for a moment, just in case you don't know who a Pharisee was. Pharisees were the religious leaders, along with the Sadducees at the time of Christ. These are good folks. For the most part, you know, they're good. They look good, they talk good, and they were all about going back to the law. Going back to the book. So, on the outside, it seemed like everyone would look up to a Pharisee, the religious leader. But here Jesus, having a sit-down conversation with them at dinner time, and he's saying, "Woe to you Pharisees." It's like Jesus showing up one day, and he comes and talks to me, and I said, "Let me tell you something, Jesus. All these folks out here are fixing to show up. You know, they're not all right. You know, they're not all right with you. There's some sinners out there. Okay? And we try to dress it up. We're trying to make sure the world doesn't see our sin. But, you know, there's some sinners out there, and I'm doing the very best I can to keep them from sinning. You know what he's going to do? Woe to you, preacher! Yeah. That's what the impact of this is. But woe to you, Pharisees! For you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Basically saying this, for you mint, you tithe, you give your offerings, you help the poor. Or you help, you know, you're doing all the things on the outside that make you seem religious, but you pass by justice. Or you ignore justice and ignore the love of God. These things that you ought to do without leaving the other undone. In other words, you should be doing both. But what they were doing were picking and choosing. And it was much easier to pick and choose the things, to do the things that it was easy for them to do, to check off the list. Verse 43, he continues, woe to you Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like the graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. Now let's just take this a little second. For you love the best seats in the synagogues. Got my place at church. I'm there every Sunday, every service. And greetings in the marketplace. I'm a very poor man. Do you get an elder, preacher, church? I wear nice things. I present myself as presentable to Christ. He says, but you're like graves, which are not seen. And the man who walks over them are not aware of them. In other words, they're dead. But no one knows. He goes on in verse 45. Then one of the lawyers answered and said to him, Teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us also. Did you realize that you're talking to us? And he said, woe to you also, lawyers! For you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Who are the scribes? The scribes are what you would call the keepers of the law. They would analyze the law. They would look at it to determine whether or not you have kept the law of Moses or not. And so what they would do is they would micromanage the law. They would take the law apart and find all the little ways. Technically, you've broken the law. It was all about the law. And what they would do would load men with burdens that they could not bear. For instance, Sabbath. The Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Do you realize that they couldn't pick up sticks on the Sabbath day? They considered it work. He says, so you load them down, but you don't. He says, do not touch yourself. Do not touch the burdens of one of your fingers. You don't even lift your finger to help to ease their burden. In verse 47, woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. You build these magnificent tombs for your prophets. It would have been because your fathers that killed the prophets. In fact, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their tombs. Hypocrites! Oh, look at the famous prophets here, and they build a tomb, but it was their ancestors who actually killed those prophets. In verse 49, it goes on, therefore the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. He was holding them accountable. In verse 51, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple, yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. In the next verse, woe to you lawyers, for you've taken away the key to knowledge, the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in you hindered. In verse 53, and as he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say, that they might accuse him. They didn't like what he was saying, because he was talking to the good folks. He was talking to the religious folks. He was talking to the people who kept order. He was talking to the ones that everyone should be looking up to. And what did he say to them? Woe unto you. Man. Let me tell you something. The reason why I went through all of that. Following Jesus is not about painting on a fake smile and being religious. There's more to this following Jesus than showing up in church, putting on the good clothes, and acting and covering up your sins. God wants genuine relationships with us that are characterized by authentic and integrity. The church is in dire shape today, and I'm talking not before the pandemic. Do you realize how many people need Jesus? They need the Lord. Do you realize how many people are not coming to church? Do you look at the generations? 26% of the American people attend church. Only 26%. That's one out of four. And there's been a marked decrease in every generation. And there was 53% who went to church before 1946. And if they were born, 36% born before 1986 attend. And it numbers just keep going down. And that's the reason why it can be said that we're no longer a Christian nation. And that's the reason why we have a lot of the problems that we have today. Some research, and you ask the question, why is this? Well, some research suggests that many young people view church as a social club for the religious. If you follow my rules, dress like I dress, like the music I like, and vote the way I vote, then you are accepted. It is hard to argue that this is wrong. Maybe not in one particular place or another, but I'll tell you, we have churches who are full of people who say, you just got to follow the rules. If you'll just come to church, if you'll be faithful to God, and if you'll just get your offerings, if you'll marry you a good missionary Baptist man or woman, if you'll do that, and you bring your family to church, then you are okay with God. And by the way, keep yourself out of jail. That'll be a good thing. Because if you don't, then we'll have to exclude you because you've done something to embarrass the church. Every person in here has failed. And we have failed miserably at times.
That's right.
We've broken the rules. All of us. It's not about the rules. It's about a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that's what he was trying to tell them. You're trying to clean the outside. But that inside is full of dead man's bones. So as a result of this general misunderstanding, The church has become less a relationship between God and people and has become an institution of more rigid rules, structures, and what's in it for me mentality. Well, I come to church, but I don't get anything out of it. Guys, if you ever have a conversation with me about that, please don't say that to me. You will get a sermon in a second. I've heard it all a lot. Well, I'm just not getting anything out of church. Well, are you giving anything? Are you giving anything? Or are you expecting to be sit here and receive some blessing with no effort on your part simply by your faithful attendance? It's more than just coming to church. It's more than just following the rules. So, in other words, the church is seen as a place of judgment and self-absorption that has little to do with sharing God's love as it was intended to do. I hope that we can say that this doesn't apply to our church. I would hope that. But you and I both know that there are many, many places of worship and groups of saved, baptized believers who, if you mess up, there's no God's love as you get out. Jesus was never shy about confronting empty religion. He consistently valued people over programs and traditions. Notice where he went? He went and ate with them. There was a conversation that he had with them. He didn't ignore them. Well, you're terrible, so you're ignored. No, he went and had a conversation. He reached out to them. Did they like what he said? Obviously not. But what he told them was the truth and they needed to hear. Jesus searched not for religious adherence to the law, because if he had searched for religious adherence to the law, the Pharisees would have been his people. Because they tried to follow it the best they possibly can. He is looking, though, for authentic faith. True belief in God that was characterized by a desire to have a relationship with Him. God does not want religious puppets. In the Old Testament, God made a promise to the nation of Israel. If they would obey His commands and decrees, He would have a relationship with them. But they failed to do so, and they soon forgot the whole point of following Him in the first place. And that was to maintain a relationship with Him. And by the time Christ came, the Jewish way of life was all about following a complicated set of rules in order to attempt not to honor a friendship with God, but to try to earn God's favor. There are too many people who are trying to earn God's favor instead of looking for a relationship with Him. And you know the difference. The idea of a relationship had been lost. Judea was disintegrated. It had nothing to do with pointing a lost and hurting world to a true and loving God. And when Jesus came to the earth, He taught that man's connection to God is not about following a religious way of life, not religious obedient puppets, but a loving relationship. Religion or church done to appease God or to show off goodness or spirituality is done by people who miss the point and get hung up on rules. In Romans 8, says this: what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? This is the picture of what He's done for us. And it's not about if you follow My commands, point by point, thing by thing, then you'll be right with God. If you're a true, saved children of God, then you have a connection with Him, a relationship with Him that He can never deny, no matter what you do. Now, can you make Him upset and angry? Is He concerned about where you're at in this world and what you're doing? Absolutely He is. about relationship. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never asked Him into your heart and life, and He's come in and changed you, you are not a child of God in that sense. It doesn't matter how many good things you do. You're just cleaning the outside. Can I tell you something? Jesus is the only one who cleans the inside. And so, why the confusion between religion and relationships? Well, it's easier to live by a set of rules than by a relationship. A set of rules can be crossed off, completed, and set aside. A relationship takes constant nurturing. You have to share and give in a relationship. There's safety in knowing what rules are, what the rules are. And if stated clearly, the rules, then people don't even have to think for themselves. Just follow the rules. But authentic faith is not supposed to be saved. Sometimes it's not even supposed to be easy. You know, it's supposed to be an adventure in God's grace as He changes our hearts and He changes our lives. An adventure. It's not, well, I'm doing my thing and I've come to church, sang my songs, I gave my money, and now I can go about with my life. It's more than that. It's about an adventure in God's grace and His faith as He takes us and molds us and shapes us and moves us in different places for His will. Spiritually, if you have not changed in the last 10, 20 years, you stop going on that adventure. The rules in the Bible are not supposed to make us impressive robots. Or obeying them won't score us brownie points with God. But the rules are spiritual boundaries that keep us safely under the protection of the God who loves us. You know what I'm talking about. The rules that we make as parents. We told our kids, now here's the rules. You don't go there. You don't do this. You don't eat that. Why? Because we're mean? No, because that keeps us safe. We can protect them. Don't go running up. Don't go talk to strangers. Why? Because that keeps them, the rules keeps them in our realm so we can take care of them. So He can protect us. So He challenged the religious leaders to live from the inside out. Clean up your hearts first. Not just the outside. Followers of Christ, as followers of Christ, we must search our own hearts. You may have been putting band-aids on the problems of your life. You may have been trying to spit shine the outside so no one can know how bad the world is. So how would we measure up what Jesus was doing? Make his way back to earth today. Would he find us self-absorbed with our own new code of religiousness? Or would he find us loving God and the people around us? Would we be loving the institution of religion more than we love people? I hope not. I hope, and here's the way it's spoken. We love God. We have a relationship with God, warts and all. And what that does is it makes us want to be good for God, to follow the rules, not the other way around. We don't follow the rules in order to please God so that He'll accept us. He's already accepted us. He's just saying, come on. Let's clean up that inside. The outside will take care of itself. We must not be pulled into a lifestyle that's more about religion than relationship. But we do have to submit ourselves to what God's Word says. And the only way we can do that is by having a close relationship with God. That comes first. Don't read the Bible as a rule book, but read it as a love letter from Him saying, I love you. I sent my Son for you. I want what's best for you. And here are the parameters, the guidelines, the laws, if you will, in order for you, us to have a loving relationship. A close relationship. So we should all strive to keep it real. To keep it real. The fakeness and the phoniness, God sees through it. I mean, I'll just be honest with you, a lot of other folks will too. He wants you to be clean on the inside. He wants you to rely on Him to take care of who you are on the outside. And obviously, you will begin to take care of what's on the outside. And then you can present yourself. Lord, I'm so good. I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this. I can imagine us bragging to God. Lord, I'm a good person. I mean, I've never done this, I've never done that, and I've never done that, but I've done this, and I've helped them. I've done this, and I've been to church every service that was open. And Jesus looks at me. He says, on the outside, you're a whited sepulchre, a white grave. You look good. But I see, all I see on the inside is dead men's bones. Let Him not say that to us. Let's keep it real. Let's be real. Who we are on the inside is who we really are. As we stand in prayer of an invitation, I don't know your heart and I don't know your life. But I will say this. That right now, I believe God is speaking as we all stand. I believe God is speaking to your hearts about something. Maybe you haven't been worried much as much on the inside as you have the outside. But I can tell you, God sees the inside and is concerned about what's going on there. Maybe there are some who are put on a fake Christianity, a religion. It's all about the rules and saying, I'm okay because I've done this and doing this. But have you really experienced a relationship with Jesus Christ? It won't matter. You can be Saint Teresa. You can live the best possible life that you could ever live, but still be lacking that relationship. So this is your opportunity to come to Him and get your heart and your life right with Him. Saved children of God that are here today, let's not be con to the idea that going to church, following the rules, is all you have to be, all you have to do in order to have real, authentic Christianity. Now, you've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So as we sing, this is your opportunity here and beyond.